There are many definitions of faith in the world today. Most of them are associated with results that we either want, expect, demand, or hope for. So that we hear faith being bantered about as a means by which you can get whatever it is you want or need. If you have enough faith, then God will almost be obligated to respond. If you offer your sacrifice, whether it be money or service or whatever, in faith, then the result will benefit you. That kind of faith, unfortunately, is not biblical faith. It's man-centered faith. It's faith that flows from a hope of return. It's little more than an investment strategy with the expectation of some sort of dividend payment. Genuine faith and biblical faith is a much different matter altogether. When we look in the Bible, we find a lot of information about the subject of faith. We know a long time ago that when God called Abraham, that he trusted and believed what God said and who God was, and it was reckoned to him as faith, something that God bestowed in his life. We see down through the ages the people of faith described later on in the book of Hebrews in the Hall of Faith, where we see different things that they did and ways that they responded. But if you go through that list and you look at all of the great patriarchs of our faith, what you will find is the distinguishing characteristic was not what they received in return for their service or their belief, but rather their obedience, their lives dedicated to God, sometimes in very positive outcomes and sometimes in horrific ones. The only thing that was consistent was that they trusted in God and they obeyed God. Faith, we know, is necessary in order to please God. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. We know that faith is more than just words. In fact, James reminds us that faith without works is useless and dead. He even challenges us, show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. Again, obedience being the critical characteristic of faith. A transformed life, a changed direction, one that is lived for the glory and purpose of God. Faith is the means by which we are made righteous. Faith is the work of God by His grace that enlivens the heart as He calls us to Himself. Faith is that which God has entrusted to the church so that we are commanded in Scripture to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Faith is something far more than an investment strategy. Faith is something much more than a means by which we get what we want. Faith is never man-centered. It is always God-centered. And faith is not something that you or I control, but rather something that God bestows by His grace and His Spirit. Faith is a powerful commodity, so much so that it has the ability to bring to life something that is otherwise dead, the human spirit. Faith is the means by which we are brought into a lasting relationship of eternity with Christ. Faith is what sustains us when everything around us crumbles. Faith is what upholds us when we feel too weak to even hold up ourselves. Faith is truth. It's love. Faith is life. It is not just something that you or I can wield as if we were dropping coins in a slot machine. Faith is not something that you or I can manage or generate. Faith must come by the power of God. And the only response that you and I have to faith that is biblical and consistent is obedience. This week, in Vacation Bible School, we're going to be talking about faith. We're going to talk about how it connects us in all of the different primary areas of life. And we are going to talk about what faith really is. That it is essentially the gospel. And it is the means by which God brings us to Himself. We're going to talk about how faith becomes reality so that God Himself is the one who enables us to believe. And we're going to talk about what faith's results really are. Not that we get what we want when we want it, but rather that God gets what He wants when He wants it. Faith is something that requires sacrifice, commitment. Faith demands an attitude of obedience that sometimes must respond even when what we see with our eyes would seem contradictory. Faith is the means by which God is going to bring us to Himself, but then it is also the power by which He sends us to the world. And so that's what we're going to be sharing all week long. We're going to be memorizing a verse of Scripture that I want to share with you today. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Indeed, a profound passage of Scripture that we could spend a long, long time delving into. We're going to focus on verse 17, but I think in order for us to truly grasp what is intended in verse 17, we need the background. So begin with verse 5. It says, "For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, 'Do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead.' But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, 'Everyone who believes in Him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.' But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith, as it is described for us here, is directly connected to the gospel. It is essential to our understanding of who we are in Christ. The way that it works is something of a mystery, so that no matter how well it is explained or how well and deeply it is understood, there will still be great limitations. Faith, though, essentially is something that God enlivens within us. So the Bible speaks of salvation here, as well as in other places, as the means by which God calls us to Himself. The Bible teaches us in John's gospel that no man can come to the Father except that he is drawn by the Spirit. And so Jesus, when he told the disciples, "I will send another comforter to you who will lead you into all truth, who will convict the world of sin and righteousness," was reminding us that the Spirit, when he has come, would do the work in our hearts that we are unable and incapable of doing ourselves. And so God, by the work of the Holy Spirit in the individual that is being drawn to the truth, that is being called to life everlasting, God accomplishes something in us in a moment that enables us to trust and believe. It is not the persuasive words of the pastor. It is not the ability to influence of the evangelist. It is not even the manipulation that is often surrounding the presentation of the gospel. It is simply the truth of God that is proclaimed in the world, that is seen in the evidenced lives of believers, that God uses by his Spirit to enable within you the ability to believe him, so that even the ability to trust him, even the faith necessary for salvation, comes from God. Faith, then, is made possible in our hearts and lives by the work of the Holy Spirit, so that as we hear the message of the gospel, as we see the evidence of the transforming work of the Spirit, as we are reminded and connected with God in such a way that the gospel makes sense and it satisfies that longing of the heart, we are drawn, we are called, we are converted, we are born again, and we believe God and we trust God. That is faith. In our purpose statement, we declare that Temple Baptist Church exists for the glory of God through lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word transformed includes in it faith that is the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And so faith, he says, comes by hearing. It is this kind of faith that we declare. It is this kind of faith that we reveal. It is this kind of faith that we share in the world. We go on in our primary statements, not only with a mission statement, but with a vision statement. And we say in that we bring glory to God through faith, worship, and obedience. Faith is the foundation that connects us to God as God has called us to himself. And it is through the work of the Spirit. It is by the power of the gospel. And the gospel is nothing more than the reality that Jesus, the Son of God, died for our sins, was raised for our justification, and we have been called to him. It is a simple message, but it is a complex reality. It is a simple declaration that we make, but it is an amazing and miraculous reality that takes place when the Spirit draws someone to God and when a heart is changed. Faith is essential to be a part of God's family. Faith is essential to be active in God's mission. Faith is essential in order for us to be transformed and changed. When we trust and rely on God, we do so by the work of faith that he has made possible in our lives. And when we don't, then we trust in ourselves or some other resource around us. We know that only through trusting in Christ do we have salvation, but it is also true that only through trusting in Christ do we have the ability to live for him daily. I think that's one area in which faith disconnects in the minds of many believers. We are willing to accept that we have to have faith in order to be saved, but we forget that we need faith to live every moment of every single day. We were willing to admit that we need faith in order to live in every single moment of every single day, when it's hard or when it's beyond us or when it's difficult. But we also need faith to live every single moment of every single day, even when it's not hard or it's not difficult. Faith is what makes everything real in our lives. And it is faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ that is at the very heart and soul of all that he has called us to be. So faith, the gospel, Jesus. He says that we get it through hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word proclaimed. We'll talk about the word of Christ in just a moment, but I want to talk about this business of hearing. What does this mean? Well, it means several things. Jesus said that we are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that he has commanded us. Mark recorded that same great commission this way when he said, "Preach the gospel to every creature." Very simple and straightforward. So the word hearing reminds us that that's the receiving end of the gospel message. But that we as believers are to be about the proclamation of that gospel. We talk about it again in that vision statement that I mentioned before regarding faith, worship, and obedience. And we say in that, as well as in what we encourage our members to adopt as kind of their guide for life, is that we need to be about the business of sharing Jesus, and that we do that in the world so that the world sees Christ in us. What does that mean? It means that when they look at us, they're going to see the evidence of Christ's transforming work. They're going to see the evidence of faith that is making us different. In our values, in our priorities, in our demeanor, in our words, in our choices, in our relationships, in our homes, at work, at play, wherever we are, there is a difference, a distinctiveness that should be about us that is a reflection of the grace of God and our faith in Christ. People hear the word when they see Christ in us. But we don't stop there. Because a lot of people want to just say, well, I can witness by just being a good Christian. And what that really means in reality is I can witness by not being a witness. And I don't ever have to say anything. I can just say that this is what I do. And yet I don't do it consistently enough that anybody ever sees it. And there's no way to connect it to Jesus because I haven't made those direct associations. And so I can be a Christian, go to heaven when I die. I can be an active member of the church. And I can be an upstanding citizen of the biblical community. And I never give a testimony for Jesus because I'm scared or I'm uncomfortable or I'm afraid of what people will think. Or I don't want to have that obligation on my shoulders to be consistent in the way I live with the words that I speak. So we put it down like this, that the world may see Christ in us and that they may hear us speak of him often. As members of the fellowship of Temple Baptist Church, of the body of Christ in this location, our commitment, our vision for our membership is to see Christ at work in one another, but so that the world may hear us speak of him often. You can do that in a variety of ways. If you're not used to giving a gospel presentation or message or sharing your faith in a way that someone else can understand and assimilate, then I invite you to invite whoever it is that you're witnessing to church, because I'll share the gospel here. But understand something. Understand that the preaching and the teaching that I do as your pastor is not designed specifically to reach the lost world. It is specifically designed to empower and to disciple the saved world to reach the lost world. The majority of lost people today are not here. At least, that's not how it's supposed to be. The majority of people that need Christ right now in this moment are not in this room. The vast majority of you claim to be Christians. The vast majority of church members have said that they have committed their lives to Christ, that they have embraced faith and obedience, and as a result of that, they have been transformed. Some may be suspect, but the reality is that's what we claim. So where are people that need Jesus? Well, they're not here. So the purpose of what we do here is to equip, prepare, train, and disciple one another so that when we go there, we share the gospel. Sharing the gospel with lost friends, with people that are searching, with those that you don't even know along the way is a part of what God has called us to do. And so along the way, we as Southern Baptists develop processes and strategies and plans for accomplishing that task, believing that that is a biblical call on our lives, and certainly it is. The problem is that we minimized it to the degree that we taught each other how to give presentations in just a few minutes. And we taught each other how to give gospel recitations of a very brief overview from Scripture. We equipped people with tools like tracts that explain what the Bible says about salvation. And then we sent them out in a barrage on the public in the hopes that a few along the way would come to know Christ. Yet when we look at the New Testament, what we find is that rarely did Jesus go about doing what God had sent him to do in that manner. While there would be large groups of people that would gather to hear him preach and teach about the kingdom, ultimately the biblical examples of those whose lives were transformed and those whose lives were changed the most came as the result of the development of relationships. With the exception of Pentecost and a few occasions that followed, where there were large groups gathered and the Holy Spirit burst on the scene in miraculous ways that have never been seen since, with the exception of those few occasions, all the rest of the work of the gospel was carried out by individuals sharing with individuals through the relationships that they established either along the way or that already existed. That's what we need to be about. We need to be about connecting with people that don't know Christ, that are not church, that do not have a faith background or understanding, and that God is calling to himself. Who are the ones that he is calling? I don't know and you don't know. That's why we don't make distinctions. We simply share the gospel and let God do the work of salvation. Paul said that he watered and some planted, but it was God that ultimately gave the increase. It was God that brought in the harvest. We need to be about the watering and planting as well as the harvesting at times, but always the sharing of the gospel. Why? Because they cannot believe in that of which they have never heard. What are we doing to share the gospel? Vacation Bible school, big event. Children from all over the community come, and all week long, all day, every day, they're going to hear about the gospel. We're going to even encourage them to consider the impact that that makes in their lives, and we're going to help them if they have questions or if they want to know more or if God is working in their lives to bring them to salvation. We want to be a part of that. This is a great opportunity for us to be engaged in gospel witnessing. We support other people. We're going to come together tonight to see how the gospel is being declared through the mission trips, sometimes through support ministries that we do that enable others to declare the gospel. We're going to see all the opportunities that are before us. But while those kinds of things are sort of event-oriented, what about the ongoing daily routine of being people of faith so that the world hears? Or how can they believe in one they have not heard? So what is our purpose? Our purpose is to bring glory to God, but we do that through faith, worship, and obedience. It is that obedience in sharing the gospel that enables the world to hear. We are not responsible for the results, but we certainly are responsible for the telling. If we are not sharing the gospel, if we are not telling others about Jesus as individual believers, then we are not fulfilling the purpose for which God has called us. Faith has less to do with our comfort and a great deal more to do with the gospel. Faith has less to do with our affluence and a great deal more to do with the gospel. Faith is not about you and me. Faith is always about Christ. And it is always about declaring Him in the world. That's the business we need to be about. Because faith comes from hearing. Hearing comes through the word of Christ. This phrase is one that helps us to understand the entirety of the gospel. The word about Christ in one of the songs that the kids sang for us this morning and that they're going to be singing every day. When we hear the gospel, what we are hearing is we are hearing the word about Christ. And so the gospel is always about Jesus. It's never about anything else. Whenever we add something else to the gospel, it ceases to be the gospel. Because now it's been polluted and corrupted by other influences and messages that only take away from or distract from Christ. So the gospel is always about Jesus. Some would say that the gospel is about doing good works for those who are hurting and lost and struggling. And so while we can be motivated to serve others in a variety of ways as a result of our relationship and compassion that comes from Christ, ultimately that's not the gospel. Some would say the gospel is about missions and supporting missions and the work of missions, and certainly it is. And he says to go to every person and to every place in the earth and to share the gospel to every creature and with every creature. And certainly that is what we need to be about, whether we are supporting it as we give to support the work of missions or as we go and do those missions ourselves. That's all good and that's all part of what he has called us to do. But ultimately the gospel part of it is when we share the word about Christ. There are all kinds of ministry, mission endeavors that we give our resources to and that we put our energy and our lives into. And while all of those are good, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't do those things, I am simply saying that we must keep the perspective of what is most important. And what is most important is the word of Christ. So if hearing is the means by which God calls us to faith, and if what we hear is the word of Christ, then it is incumbent upon us as believers and as a church to be intentional in sharing the word of Christ, in teaching the word of Christ. So it's the most important thing that a church can do. Well, it's not its missions, and it's not its ministries in the community, and it's not the money that it collects or gives, and it's not the buildings that it builds, and it's not the programming that it maintains, and it's not the events that it hosts, but it is the word of Christ. Sharing the word of Christ. All of it. The full counsel of God. That means when we teach the Old Testament, we are teaching about God's work in the world in ancient times as He was leading the world to the fulfillment of a covenant that would not know a realization until Christ came. When we teach the New Testament, we are declaring the word about Christ that reveals for us not only how He came and what He did and who He is, but how that applies in our lives and how it transforms us so that we grow in maturity in our faith and in our walk with Him. When we are teaching the word, when we are sharing the word, when we are declaring the word, when we are preaching the word, all of this is primary. This is what the church is to be about. Equipping us for the work of ministry by being disciple makers and by teaching the word. That's why I say so often that it's so important that you're involved not only in the regular worship with God's people, but also that you're involved in small group Bible studies and in discipleship classes and things like this. Because these are essential items in your resource list to enable and equip you with the purpose for which God has called you. The word of Christ, or the word about Christ, is just simply the written word that we have in the Bible that helps us to know and to share Jesus with a world that is lost. So when we read the focal passage and memory verse for the week that the VBS kids are going to be learning, in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing. Hearing through the word of Christ, we understand that it is something far different than a lot of people think. Faith is the essence of the gospel. The gospel is made real and alive in us by the work of God, by His Spirit, when we hear that truth. And what truth do we hear? We hear the message that Jesus came, died for our sins, was raised for our justification. That He not only forgives us of our sins, so that sin was placed upon Him when He died, but His righteousness has also been imputed to us, so that we too are the recipients of a righteous standing before God that we could never earn on our own. It is trust in Him that gives meaning and value to everything else in this life, that gives strength and direction to who we are and puts it all in perspective, so that we truly do realize it's not about me. It is about God. And when you take that particular step of maturity, God gets glory. That is a life of faith, worship, and obedience. And that is the fulfillment of your purpose. It's why we're here as a church. It's why we're here as believers. This is one verse that we can put among a very few and say, this is who we are. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of Christ. Exclusively. For Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Do you know Him? You really should.